What the devil? Who's there? Oh, yes. Oh, inie, preko.
Ustra prania na gizdu.
Yes, gratu tu, kupo.
Preko, na gizdu, preko. Buono admetito.
August the 31st, 1925. The Albergo Santa Giovanni, Nuova Castra, Dacia. Darling Connie, at last your own Stephen is here in the heart of Dacia, and exhausted. I dozed off the moment I got you, only to be woken almost immediately by the cupo, the landlord, who called me Magistu, a great compliment, and presented me with his idea of an English breakfast, viz. Porridge made from some sort of maize, eggs cooked with herbs, and bacon cured in paprika. All very tasty, though. Oh, thank heavens. At last the old cracked bell of St. Vargil's has stopped. You know, in these wild, beautiful mountains, roads hardly exist. The equipage that brought me here from Arlenopoli was a veritable box on wheels. I feel bruised from head to foot, so I'm going to ask the landlord to prepare me a bath. I'll need one before I present my compliments to Her Serenity, the Countess Valvasor, this evening. All my thoughts are with you, dearest Connie, your loving husband, Stephen. P.S. Wish me luck with the Countess. Hey-ho. Kupo! Kupo! Uni bagni, placut. E velips, preco.
The 31st of August, 1925. It was on this very day, 40 years ago, that I resolved to begin this journal, and to keep up my English by writing it in that language. The day that I returned here to Castle Valvasor from my beloved Boston. And now I am weary beyond expression. And yet tonight I sense the approach of danger. Without question, something, somebody is at hand. No, it is no fancy. As I write these words, I sense a movement towards my door. What guest is here? Is it death?
Renata! Salve tu, Magistu.
Salvata, matrone. Egg.
Es benu Magda. Tutto benu Magda.
Madame.
Good evening, Mr. Hillier. It is Mr. Hillier, I assume.
It is indeed.
Enter freely. Of your own free will, cross my threshold.
Oh, yes. Thank you. The Countess Valvasor.
The same. Won't you come through? It gets cold in the lobby.
You speak excellent English, Countess.
Why, thank you. That's very kind. Though I call it American, not English. I was educated in the United States, but that was a very long time ago.
Oh, it can hardly be that long ago, Countess. You look far too young. Well, I mean, well...
Please don't be embarrassed, Mr. Hillier. It's a compliment. I'll tell you how old I really am. We have no inhibitions about these things in my country, and I flatter myself that I look rather less than my real age. I'm 29. Ah, here we are.
Well, I'm 42. There now. I say, what a pleasant room.
I try to give one or two rooms here some semblance of coziness. Now, do please sit down.
Oh.
Tell me what brings you to Castle Valvasor. Can I get you a drink? Dry martini? I don't advise the local fire water.
Well, a dry martini's fine. To be honest with you, Countess, I'm interested in the history of your family. Oh, thank you. Well... Salvata, Cantusa.
Your health, Mr. Hillier. So you know about us, even in England. How much do you know about our family history?
Well, of course, I know the vampires and legends about Benedict Valvasor and his terrorizing the province.
There's a whole raft of stuff about Benedict in the files, but the star of the show is Red Matthias, the only so-called vampire to have been dispatched by a bishop. Do you have a cigarette by any chance? I left mine upstairs.
Oh, yes, of course. Here.
Oh, thank you. Ah, State Express. I adore State Express. Yes, with a stake through the heart, of course. The bishop fainted. There's an eyewitness account in the library. But I meant to ask, where's your baggage?
My bag? Oh, my luggage. Oh, it's in my room at the Albergo Santa Giovanni.
Well, I'll get them to bring it up. We can't have you staying there.
Oh, but I...
No, I insist. We always keep a guest room ready.
1st September, 1925. It was not death that came. I am tempted to call it life. He is honorable, brave, chivalrous, sentimental, cautious, a little fussy, enormously English. Every time he looks me in the eye, I blush and stammer like an infatuated schoolgirl. Now it is almost dawn, but I want to say one more thing before I finish. Thank you. It's all I can say. His name is Stephen Hillier.
To Dr. A.C. Winterbourne, M.A., F.R.D.I., etc., St. Matthew's Hall, Oxford, September the 1st, 1925, from Castle Valvasor. My dear Charles, by a piece of astonishing good fortune, I find myself the guest of the Countess, a remarkably cool and self-contained young lady who speaks excellent English. One reason for this is quite amazing. Her steward, come general factotum, he is also the librarian, is, mirabile dictu, a Scot, one Robert McNeil. He's now in his 60s and has been here for nearly 40 years. I spent the day with him in the archives. The Countess didn't show herself. No doubt she was resting. She keeps very late hours. But she has bidden McNeil and myself to supper at 9. Oh, since it is nearly 9 now, I must break off.
Can I press you to some more broth, Mr. Hillier? It'd be a pity if it were to be wasted. Waste not, want not, as my old mother used to say.
Oh, thank you. It's very delicious.
You obviously have a taste for the garlic. Now, there's something. Many of the details of the vampire legend have no basis in fact, you know. The peasant belief in the efficacy of garlic, for instance.
And the business of the crucifix.
Mere popish idolatry, superstitious propaganda by the satraps of the so-called Holy Roman Emperor to try to seduce the local peasantry during the 30 Years' War.
Ah.
And another fallacy. Why should a vampire have to be in his or her coffin for destruction to be effective? Benedict Valvasor was decapitated and annihilated on the roof of this very castle and a spike driven into his head. Of course, it would have been equally serviceable to have exposed him to direct sunlight, which causes immediate and total disintegration into dust. Indeed, in the case of...
My dear Countess, here, have some water. Are you all right?
Thank you, my dear Mr. Hillier. I guess I am a bit squeamish after all. Those were my ancestors you were talking about, you know, my own flesh and blood. Now I'll ask Magda to bring in the chicken. Try this tokay with your fruit, Mr. Hillier.
Thank you. Mmm. A splendid meal, Countess. My congratulations to your chef.
There is no chef, Mr. Hillier. There's only my dear old Magda here.
Madame.
Café, Magda. Précoute.
Oh, madame.
No coffee for me, thank you, Countess. I'm off to my bed. Mr. Hillier, I shall be at your disposal in the library from 8 o'clock onwards.
Oh, thank you.
I hope you pass a pleasant night, Countess, and that you sleep well, Mr. Hillier. Good night.
Good night. McNeil was telling me that he's been here for many years.
Yes, he, how shall I put it? He first made himself useful to Baron Alecu.
Oh, yes. Yes, your great uncle. I was reading about him in the library.
And what did you discover?
It was a sad letdown for a romantic like me. All those promising tales about the young girls who died with the name of Alecu on their lips, and then he himself goes and dies of typhus in 1891, wasn't it? And that's that.
Well, not altogether, but, come. Have a look at this picture. What do you make of it?
Oh, it's curious. Is it some sort of procession? And what's that strange one-story building?
It's the funeral procession of Baron Alecu in 1891.
Ah.
The building is our family mausoleum. It's in the grounds. There, Look, you can see it through the trees.
Oh, yes.
We do have a very good full-length portrait of Aleku himself by Winterhalter, if you'd like to see it.
Very much.
Madame.
Ah, here's the coffee. Why don't we take it upstairs?
Upstairs?
Yes, upstairs. The portrait is upstairs. It's in my bedroom.
Dear Charles, old boy, I'm continuing this letter in the Countess's bedchamber, believe it or not, at a little table by the window. We should both of us have to be completely different from what we are if I could tell you what has just happened. Suffice it to say that, as bidden, I did indeed have supper with the Countess and McNeil. A queer bird, that one. I must say, they did us very well. A delicious potato soup, chicken constantia, that's with the plum sauce, and then fingers of sheep's cheese dipped in the local harsh mustard. Afterwards, McNeil left us, and we took coffee in the Countess's bedroom. Well, one thing led to another, and verb sap, here I am. My dear old boy, I can't convey to you the... She's called Lucretia. The Dacian aristos like to stress their supposed links with ancient Rome. She's 29, and as I write, she's asleep just near me in her bed. And here we come to the good old Vexata Quaestio. I've fallen for her like a ton of...
Aleku! Aleku! Tu diavolo, tu cane d'inferno, Aleku!
Lucretia, what is it?
Ai, Aleku! Ai, Aleku!
Lucretia, Lucretia, you're dreaming!
Who is... Oh, Stephen, it's you, my darling.
You were having a nightmare, that's all.
Is that what you call it? Oh, Stephen, hold me.
What was it?
Something, oh, loathsome. Stephen, I want you to do something for me. You must do it, my dear one.
Anything I can.
Will you pray to God and tell him I thank him for sending you to me? Because I thought he had abandoned me forever.
But Lucretia, wouldn't it be better if you told him yourself?
No. In my state, prayer is ineffective.
In your state? What state?
Of absolute sin. I am in a state of absolute sin.
Absolute? Oh, I say, I mean...
Please do what I ask, Stephen.
Well, gladly.
Promise me, Stephen.
I promise.
It is enough. I know you are a man of honor. Now I can sleep.
Briggs, I must tell you, old fellow, between writing a ton of and that last word, Briggs, I had the strangest of conversations. Lucretia now sleeps soundly, but not 20 minutes ago, and... But my God, this is even stranger. Charles, this may be a dream, but I will write it down, and if I still have the writing in the morning, I will know it is no dream. You must know that hanging on a wall downstairs is a picture of Baron Aleku's funeral procession in 1891. I am now witnessing that identical procession. Oh, please God, it is a dream. Not 100 yards away, I see the coffin on its odd-looking wagon drawn by 6 men pulling ornamental ropes, and, yes, all clad in black, a figure like Lucretia. It is Lucretia. She's just caught my eye, and yet she is here beside me. I must set this down calmly. I'm not mad. I'm not drunken. I may be dreaming. Lucretia is no longer here. Nor is her bed, nor the dressing table, the pictures, the sculptures, the pier glass. Outside the window, all is pitch dark. There are only the stark stone walls and beneath my bare feet the chill floor. The door. The door is locked.
Help! Help!
Oh.
Why, Mr. Hillier, what on earth are you doing here? You were fortunate, I heard you. This particular room is hardly ever used these days. How did you come to be here?
Well, I don't know.
Have you been sleepwalking?
I don't know that either, but perhaps. Yet, how did the door come to be locked?
Oh, the door was not locked, simply jammed. The wood tends to swell at this season.
Oh.
Oh, the Countess sends her apologies.
Oh?
She received a message her old nurse was dying and asking to see her. Oh. And so she hurried off, as she would. It's a fair drive almost to the border of the province. I expect her back in the late evening.
Ah.
I hope to see you later, if you feel well enough. Your room is just down the corridor.
No, it was no dream. The fact that I found this paper in my pocket is proof enough for that. Still, after a couple of hours in bed, a warm bath, a breakfast of scrambled eggs with strips of smoked mutton, hot rolls and quince jam, I feel able to face McNeil. He's very proud of his indexing system in the library. Librarians are much the same everywhere, eh, Charles? But with some justification. He showed me what he claimed was the genuine confession of a vampire. It was about 50 years old, I imagine, and began, Dominu vobiscu, preco vos ni par misericordi, ni par pieti, and went on in much the same strain. In essence, the author is begging those who are not accursed to pray on the vampire's behalf. Pretty purple stuff, and almost certainly a fake. But anyway, I traced it out. It's in manuscript and in an educated hand, though something about the handwriting bothers me. I had luncheon with McNeil, a toothsome river trout expertly cooked by the splendid Magda, and I've just come up to my room to scribble this and collect my overcoat, as McNeil has promised to take me to the mausoleum.
Here is the sarcophagus itself. Segnu Aleku Valvasor, 1841 to 1891. That's where Aleku's buried, or is at rest. I was at the funeral, of course.
Were you, by George?
Yes, it was the 25th of February. Ash Wednesday. Odd how these things stick in your mind. As a matter of fact, there was a curious incident a couple of weeks after the burial.
Yes?
A party from the town came up and broke open the coffin and found a corpse. A corpse showing unmistakable signs of decay. Not, as I suppose they'd expected, Aleku in his habit as he lived.
It took a damned lot of nerve to lead the coffin-breaking expedition.
Yes, nobody seems to know who did. Not a local man, it was said. Oh, by the by, Mr. Hillier, are your whereabouts known to your people in England?
Not precisely, no.
Dear me, a most unwise omission in a country like this. If I may, I'll send a man to the telegraph station tomorrow.
3 p.m. Charles, I want to get this posted as quickly as possible. There's more to McNeil than meets the eye, and something he just said makes me want to let you know my whereabouts at once. N.B., needless to say, everything I said about Lucretia is sub rosa. Yours, I, Stephen. P.S., we'll telegraph Connie at the same time as posting this.
Oh, Stephen, there you are. Oh, I'm sorry I rushed off without seeing you.
Lucretia, I think I saw you.
What, darling?
Last night I saw the funeral of Baron Alec of Valvasor in the year 1891. I actually saw it, Lucretia, as clear as day.
Don't be silly, dear. You dreamed it. You were remembering the picture.
It was not a dream. I watched it from your bedroom window, at least at first. Then I was in a strange empty room, and you were there.
I was where?
At the funeral in 1891.
But nonsense. I wasn't born then. It was a dream.
Then how did I get into that strange room?
Well, you must have walked in your sleep. You don't think I could have carried you?
Well, no, but... Well, it's devilish odd, though.
Here, kiss me, my dear one. Now, that's better. And now, a little ceremony. This won't hurt.
What are you doing? What the... Lucretia?
There, my darling. All done. A lock of your hair. And now, I cut a lock of mine. So. And give it to you. This means we're officially lovers and can only cease to be by exchanging again. Is that English? By giving these back?
Well, that's lovely. Is it a peasant custom?
Well, a custom anyhow. Though it's dying out, as what isn't. But we must celebrate. Champagne. So this is to be my last entry in my journal.
after 40 years. Stephen was a little suspicious about the champagne, but he drank it, and Magda's potion certainly acted fast. He was asleep within seconds. Before I left him, I kissed Stephen's cheek once, twice. A delicious languor stole over me. Suddenly, I thought of Aleku. I came to myself in an instant. After a second's inexpressible agony of mind, I ascertained that though my teeth had been at his throat, they had not penetrated the skin. I knew now that I could not suppress the abominable craving that defines my state, and that I place Stephen in deadly danger. I know my duty. May the God I have forsaken give me the strength of will to carry it out.
From the Pall Mall Gazette, September the 5th, 1925. Death of British subject. Foul play suspected. The death has been reported in Novocastra in Dacia of Mr. Robert William McNeil, M.A., the archivist at Castle Valvasor, the seat of Her Serenity, Lucretia, the Countess Valvasor. Dr. Casio Iotvos, who carried out the autopsy, stated that Mr. McNeil appeared to have been killed in a particularly gruesome fashion, his head having apparently been pulled from his body by main force, and his right arm having been shattered into some 30 or 40 pieces. With Mr. McNeil's corpse, another body was found, that of a man in extreme old age and in a state of advanced decomposition. To add to the mystery, the Countess herself seems to have disappeared. The British consul in Ardenopoli, Mr. Terence Seymour, is in touch with the coroner, His Rectitude, Quaestor Miron Filipescu. Mr. McNeil leaves no family.
Atsu probitsimu, Miron Filipescu, Kester. No. I have recorded my deepest thoughts in English for so long. Forgive me, Quaestor Filipescu, if I write my confession in that tongue. In the year 1886, when I was 29, my uncle, the Baron Aleku, forcibly reduced me to the abominable condition of vampire, and then debauched me. 5 years we continued our hideous practices before the citizens of Novocastra began to suspect the true nature of the Baron, if not of me. He therefore obtained the services of one Robert McNeil, who, finding a Bessarabian corn factor who closely resembled my uncle, poisoned him, giving out that the Baron had died of typhus. An elaborate funeral was staged. Then the wily McNeil aroused the townspeople to break open the tomb. There they found not the immaculate form of an undead vampire, but an ordinary decaying corpse. Since then, the unspeakable McNeil has provided the victims whose blood we drank from further afield to allay suspicion. And so we continued for decades, until the arrival of one whose nobility caused me to loathe my situation, and he who brought me to it. Accordingly, tonight at 2 a.m., I drove an iron spike through the back of my uncle's head. The extreme and dreadful changes that then took place in him proved him destroyed. However, McNeil, aroused by his screams, entered the room and taunted me for my action, threatening to silence, in his words, an Englishman staying at the castle, a Mr. Stephen Hillier. I was therefore obliged to kill McNeil, a simple matter in view of the strength natural to one in my condition. This confession, entrusted to my faithful servant, Magda Margaloman, supersedes an earlier one now in the castle library, given under our hand and seal, September 4th, 1925, Lucretia Valvasor.
From the Hotel Astoria, Budapest, September the 8th, 1925. My dear Charles, I shall have to tell someone... No, not someone, you, before I go mad or die of grief. When I returned from posting my last to you, I spoke with Lucretia and we drank some champagne. I now believe this to have been drugged, as I awoke some 12 hours later in my own bedroom. The first things I saw when I came downstairs were two corpses, a grim sight, but it is not that that is robbing me of my sleep, of my reason, but something else. I heard an irregular banging that I soon identified as caused by the long glass door giving onto the terrace. I went out. The sun was very strong. On the flagstones was a little heap of dust. My eye fell on what might have been a thin wisp of hair, but it had disintegrated before I could reach it. On the ground was an envelope with my name on it. The handwriting seemed familiar. I took from my pocket the tracing I had made of the vampire's confession that McNeil had showed me in the library. Charles, there could be no question but that the handwriting was the same. The note, of course, was from Lucretia.
My only dear love, I have to go away, and you will never see me again in this life. Our love has been the only true thing in my whole existence, and the means of deliverance from all my sorrows. Maybe we will meet again in a million years from now. I think perhaps God intends that. Goodbye, heart of my heart. Remember your promise to pray for me. Your Lucretia.
From 3 Hall Lane, Wheatley, the 15th of September. Darlingest Stevie, do hope this gets to you at your hotel. Thanks for your lovely long chatty letter with all the recipes. I was getting just an itsy-bitsy bit worried, what with not hearing from you, except for the telegram, of course. Sorry the Castle Valvasor place was such a washout, and that you found nothing to interest you. Anyway, in one way it was a blessing in disguise, as it meant you left before that awful business about nice Mr. McNeil. Actually, I've got a confession to make. I'm afraid your Connie got a teensy-weensy bit jealous when I heard you were staying at Castle Valvasor with the Countess. I imagined her as some frightful foreign vamp. And then I looked her up in the Almanach de Gotha and found she was born in 1857. I bet she was a dreary old battle-axe who disapproved of you. Wasn't I silly? Dying to see you. Love, Connie.
To See the Sun was based on a story by Kingsley Amis and dramatised by John Scotney. Stephen Hillier was played by Christopher Cazenove, Countess Valvasor by Gail Hunnicutt, and McNeil by Graham Crowden. The Innkeeper and Pall Mall Gazette were voiced by Alan Dudley, Magda was Jennifer Piercy, and Connie was Zila Clark. The director was Jane Morgan.